This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Working from home felt like a dream at first. The extra sleep, the quiet, the freedom, clearing the load of washing. That's what I always did. But now that it's part of our everyday work life, something interesting is happening. For some of us, it's a genuine boost. For others, it's doing the exact opposite. So what's really going on with our minds when we work from home? He's back with us on Drive, research fellow Jan Kabatek from the Melbourne Institute of Applied Economic and Social Research at the University of Melbourne. Jan, welcome back to Drive.
Hello, thank you so much for having me.
When you look at the data, what's the first big pattern you see about how work and mental health are connecting?
Well, I suppose the thing which really strikes you in the data is that COVID was such a game changer for work from home and the way how we approach it. It meant that many people switched into work from home arrangements, but also they kept it even after the pandemic. So essentially, if you just kind of chart the amount of people who are working at least partially from home, the share is basically the same as it was during COVID, which means that people are not returning en masse to the offices, and work from home is here to stay. And therefore, we just kind of thought, okay, let's then investigate it and see whether this is this has got some positive or negative effects on our mental well-being.
Now, we've always blamed the commute, but once you separated commuting from working at home, what did commuting alone actually do to people's mental health?
Right. So we did see small negative effects on commuting for men, and essentially no effects for women. These are very small impacts, especially compared to what working from home can do for people. So that was a little bit surprising because it went somewhat in contrast to the research which was done in other countries, and it suggests that essentially the patterns are not kind of cross-border.
What about hybrid work, Jan? Mostly home, a day or two in the office. That creates such a strong lift, especially for women who start out with lower mental health. Is that correct?
That's right. That was essentially the main finding of the study. We looked at different forms of working from home, from very minor allocations to kind of full-time work from home arrangements. And what the data showed us was that the hybrid work, which combines majority of days worked from home and at least one or two days from the office, that seems to be the best mixture for your mental well-being.
If someone were you able to find out sort of an optimum ratio in terms of the number of days working from home versus those going into the office?
It's a little bit tricky to say because many people work part-time as well, right? So I would say, you know, majority from home with minority in the office, that's kind of as good of a statement as we can make.
If someone listening is doing a mix of home and office, how can we tell if our current pattern is actually helping our well-being?
That's a good question. I suppose, one thing which is quite popular and people do find it useful is journaling. So you can basically record how you feel over the day and compare between different dates, between different weeks. And if you start seeing patterns which are kind of suggestive that you are feeling better, then that's great. You also have all these trackers of your biomechanisms and other different indicators of your health, so that can be also used in this regard.
Jan, I just flashed back to a particular corporate role I was doing many years ago that I absolutely hated, and I was thinking, if I was journaling...
I'm so sorry.
When I was in there, the diary would be, oh, this is absolutely crap. It would be really easy, but I suppose for a lot of us it's quite, you know, there's not such that big difference between the two work sites as such. So it's I suppose it's about determining which one is that optimum, you know, ratio that does give you that happiness.
That's right, yes.
Now, if you were designing a workplace model, say for next year, what would it look like to you? What would a mentally healthy balance look like?
I think the most important part of the story is that there's no silver bullet that will fit everybody, right? Essentially, what you want from a workplace is to be flexible and basically to listen to what their employees need. Some people do enjoy work from home. Some people don't. I mean, to be honest, I work mostly from the office because I do derive a lot of pleasure from just interacting with my colleagues. But I'm also aware that I'm definitely not among the majority around the university. So the flexibility is the key.
Mm. Jan, always good to chat with you. I love the idea that the hybrid workplace is here to stay. I think it works really well. So thanks for your research.
Thanks so much for having me. Cheers.
Thank you. That was research fellow Jan Karbatek from the Melbourne Institute of Applied Economic and Social Research at the University of Melbourne.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.